In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. At the very end of the gospel lesson this morning comes this one short verse. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You might think it strange that on the basis of this one little verse, the church has set aside an entire feast day, a special day to honor that holy name. But the act of naming is powerful. The Feast of the Holy Name is always celebrated on January 1st, the eighth day after we celebrate the birth of Christ, the eighth day being the traditional day of circumcision for newborn Jewish boys. The day of circumcision is also the traditional day of naming. So the day of his circumcision would have been the day that Mary's child was named Jesus, the name given by the angel at the Annunciation. In almost every human culture, personal names aren't given arbitrarily, but they're given for a reason. They're invested with meaning. Among the ancient Israelites, names were often given in reference to some actual trait in the child, as with Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, whose name means hairy. He was kind of hairy when he was born. Or names were given to reflect some prophetic idea of who the child would become, as with Jacob, Esau's brother, the second born of the two, who came out grasping at Esau's heel. Jacob, who would later steal the birthright of his brother, the firstborn, Jacob's name means supplanter. Sometimes in ancient Israel, names were given to reflect a particular feeling or a hope that the parents had at the time of the child's birth. For example, the name Isaac means laughter. Abraham and Sarah named their son Isaac because he was the son born in their old age, long after they had given up on the hope of getting pregnant. And because when they'd heard the news that Sarah would be pregnant, Sarah had laughed, amazed at how God could make what seemed utterly impossible possible. So what does it mean that God gave Mary's child the name Jesus? Well, first of all, it should be said that unless the angel in Luke's story was a Greek-speaking angel, the name he probably would have given Mary was not Jesus, but Yeshua, Joshua, the Hebrew or Aramaic form of the name. You may have learned somewhere along the line that the name Jesus means God saves, which is true. But recovering the Hebrew form of the name reveals, I think, more of the longing and the hope that is invested by God in this child. The name Joshua should immediately recall the great patriarch of ancient Israel who picked up Moses' mantle of leadership after his death. It was Joshua who finished the journey of the Exodus that Moses had begun, bringing the children of Israel out of slavery into the promised land. So the name Joshua and its Greek cousin, Jesus, point backward to these saving acts of Joshua in ages past and invite us to project that meaning forward onto the events of Jesus' life in years to come. By the events of Jesus' life and death, Jesus, like Joshua, will finish the job that God had begun. A job begun by others, the project of redeeming the world. By this time in the biblical story, you know, God has been laboring for eons to bring his people out of slavery. Slavery to all kinds of oppressions, both within us and without. First, he gave the law as a guide for how to treat one another, how to live justly in a way that honors God. Then, when we failed to follow the law, God sent judges who were to be examples of righteousness and kings who were to rule with peace. But they blew it too. And after we ignored them, God sent prophets who warned us about taking advantage of the poor and the weak, warned us about living selfishly and violently, and taught us that we will be judged by how we care for the vulnerable in our society, by how we love. So when God sends an angel to Mary who says, "A child shall be born to you by the Spirit of God, and his name shall be Jesus, Yeshua," we are to understand that the hope and intention that God invests in this child is that this child, this one, will finally finish the job. Finally, we'll listen to him. Finally, we will learn to love God and to love one another, and the work of saving us from ourselves will be done. It calls to mind the parable of the wicked laborers that Jesus tells later in his life. The master has lived away from his vineyard for many years. Hearing that the workers are not taking care of his vineyard very well, he sends one supervisor after another to get them to straighten up. But the workers keep beating them up and throwing them off the vineyard. The master is not getting through to them. So finally, the master decides, "I'll send them my son. Surely they'll listen to him, right?" The longing that God has in the name Jesus is a longing for our completion. As I mentioned at the start, the Feast of the Holy Name is celebrated on the eighth day after our celebration of Jesus' birth, because that was the day of his circumcision and of his public naming. In Judaism, circumcision is that critical step in the formation of Jewish identity, especially, obviously, for Jewish males. In the book of Genesis, God commands that all Hebrew males be circumcised as a sign of the everlasting covenant between God and his people. And naming plays a role in forming that identity also. At a ritual circumcision, these days usually called a bris, the Yiddish name, the order of events is significant. Prayers of blessing are said. The boy is then circumcised. The child is then publicly named, with the parents often saying a few words about the meaning of the child's name. And finally, everybody celebrates with a big party. What is emphasized first is blessing. The blessing of participating in this unique relationship with God and others in a covenant community. The sign of the covenant, circumcision, is then made on the boy's flesh. Then, and only then, does the boy receive his individual name. These days, many Jews celebrate naming ceremonies for girls, too. And while they don't, fortunately, involve circumcision, they do usually follow the same order as a bris. First, the blessing is proclaimed. Then her participation in the covenant is affirmed. And finally, the child is named. That order conveys an intentional message. that the individual does not exist for himself or herself alone. He or she is now identified among a people whom God has chosen for a purpose. And what is that purpose? As the Bible says, God has chosen them to be a light to the nations. That is the meaning of participating in the covenant community. And the individual life draws its meaning from that larger meaning. This boy or this girl who is being named publicly will have reached her highest potential when her life reflects the goodness and love of God into the world. The most important identity that any Jewish child has is the identity as a child of Israel, a child of holy purpose. As Christians, we don't have circumcision rituals anymore. It's not part of the requirement of becoming a part of the Christian covenant. Baptism plays that role now. Baptism is how we affirm our participation in the covenant, how we as Christians take on the identity and the name of Jesus. We are baptized, remember, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And taking on his name, we take on his purpose. When we are invested in, when we are given that name of Christian, all the longing and the hope of God for that name transfers to us. We are the body of Christ, the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus in this world. And so when we take on that name, we are called to become little Christs. And all that hope that God has that we will be involved, that our lives will be dedicated to the same purpose of Christ, all of that transfers to us. So in this new year, and maybe as we look forward to baptism next week and to the reaffirmation of our baptismal vows, maybe we can be thinking about what this means for us individually to be part of this covenant purpose. We each have a name, but the highest fulfillment of that name will be when we use it to live out that larger purpose, to bring all the world into the light of Christ's loving presence. So let's finish the job, shall we? Amen.